Hello, I'm Pauline Rowson, crime author of the D.I. Andy Horton contemporary set crime novels, the Art Marvick mystery thrillers, the 1950s set Inspector Ryger mysteries, and two standalone thrillers, In Cold Daylight and In for the Kill. You can find details of all my crime novels on my website at www.romark.co.uk. In this episode, I'm talking about why I chose the 1950s as the setting for the Inspector Ryger mysteries, and also the background behind Inspector Ryger. Death in the Cove is the first in the 1950s set Inspector Ryger mystery series, set on the Royal Island of Portland in Dorset, with Death in the Harbour, number 2, set in the port of New Haven, East Sussex, and Death in the Nets, number 3 in the series, set in the fishing town of Brixham, Devon. So, why did I choose to set the Inspector Ryger mystery series in the 1950s? Well, the 1950s is a fascinating era where memories of the war are still very strong and the fear of more world conflicts haunt people. The country was in the grip of austerity, with rationing still in force on many commodities long after the war has ended. People had hoped and believed that they would be free of such restrictions. There were severe shortages of many consumer products. Make, do, amend was still very much the order of the day, and the black market was thriving. The lack of housing was also very acute because of the bombing and shortages of building material, with many people living in old Nissen huts, on abandoned airfields and army camps, in railway carriages, shacks, and even converted torpedo boats. There were very few vacuum cleaners, even fewer refrigerators, and hardly any washing machines. A mangle in the backyard was used to squeeze the water from your washing. Bread, milk, and coal were delivered to your doorstep, and the bread, unwrapped, was left on the window ledge or the doorstep. A knife sharpener came round regularly. Heavy laundry was often sent out to the laundry for those who could afford it. Otherwise, it was boiling them on the stove or hand washing them and using the mangle. There were very few cars and lorries on the roads. There were trams, trolley buses, and steam trains. Open fires, coal dust, and soot reigned supreme, along with paraffin heaters and a tin bath in front of the fire once a week, unless you were very fortunate to have a bathroom with a gas geyser. Many houses did not have running hot water. Families washed in the kitchen, and toilets were shared between houses and were very often out in the backyard, depending on where you lived. Abortions were illegal, and backstreet practitioners sadly flourished. There was a social stigma attached to illegitimacy. Divorce was not acceptable in many circles. Homosexuality was illegal, and capital punishment was still in operation. The 1950s is an era caught between the aftermath of the war and the social and cultural revolution of the swinging 60s. And it wasn't only society which was vastly different to today, but also policing and detection. There were, of course, no mobile phones, no dashing about in cars, and no computers. So it was an extremely interesting period to research and write. Scotland Yard were frequently called in to investigate murder cases around the UK. So rather than having the novel and my series rooted in London, this meant I could move my detective around the country to help solve crimes. Now, I wanted to feature the sea in my crime novels. My trademark, or my brand if you like, it features in all my crime novels. So I decided to create a character with an intimate knowledge of the sea. I made him a former merchant seaman, Inspector Alan Ryger. From the very first, I didn't want to make Ryger an action hero like Art Marvick, my former Royal Marine Commando, who appears in currently four mystery thrillers, working as an undercover agent for the UK Police National Intelligence Marine Squad. I also sought to differ Ryger from my contemporary Portsmouth-based detective, D.I. Andy Horton, who is an instinctive copper with lots of personal baggage. He's intuitive, rugged and flawed, with a deep sense of justice and a need to belong. Neither did I want somebody who has been hailed as a war hero in the traditional sense, but instead I chose to feature a quiet, unsung hero of the Second World War. I decided to make Ryger a former German prisoner of war. Ryger's ship, while he was working for the Merchant Navy and undertaking one of the many treacherous routes that they did of bringing in much needed UK foodstuffs to the UK, had been seized by a German raider in 1941. As a result of this, he was incarcerated for the rest of the war. Here he learned to cope with the uncertainty, the fear, the deprivations of forced incarceration, with no option but to wait, to hope, and to pray that the war would soon be over and the Nazis would be defeated. Ryger's experiences in the camp and at sea have made him an observant, analytical, and reflective man. It's given him insights into human behaviour. He's witnessed compassion, cruelty, cowardice, heroism, mental breakdown, and despair. He's made a promise to himself that whatever happens after the war, he'll keep an open mind and never judge, and that he will strive to seek justice for those who need and deserve it. The war also unexpectedly resulted in opening up a new career for Ryger. Encouraged by a fellow prisoner to study, Ryger, with the help of his mentor, is able to make the transition from the Merchant Navy to the Thames River Police. Before Death in the Cove, the first in the Inspector Ryger series, opens, Ryger has been involved in two very highly successful criminal investigations at the Port of London, and as a result has been catapulted into the Metropolitan Police and then into CID in Scotland Yard. Ryger's experience at sea as a prisoner of war and as a prisoner of war have made him unique in his approach to solving coastal-based crimes. In his first solo investigation outside of London, which is Death in the Cove, he's tasked to discover why a man dressed in a pinstripe suit has been stabbed in the neck and ended up dead on the beach of a small cove on Portland on the Dorset coast. Here he comes into contact with former war photographer Eva Paisley, forthright, confident, self-assured, professional, and an accomplished photographer who has experienced frontline danger in many theatres of war. They team up in the second in the series, Death in the Harbour, set in the port of New Haven, East Sussex, and again in number three in the series, Death in the Nets, set in the small fishing town of Brixham in Devon. Together, Ryger and Eva make a formidable crime-busting duo. I have tried to capture the period of the 1950s, both socially and in regard to police and detection, and have been very fortunate to have been assisted in my research by many people, including former policemen who were active during that time in the locations the Ryger mystery novels are set. My grateful thanks to everyone who has helped me and continues to do so, as I write number four in the series entitled Death in the Dunes, which is set on the Kent coast of Dungeness. Meanwhile, I hope you enjoy reading the Inspector Ryger mysteries, and I hope you will join me in future for more of my podcast episodes. You can find details of my Art Marvic mystery thrillers, my contemporary set D.I. Andy Horton novels, and my 1950s set Inspector Ryger mysteries on my website at www.romark.co.uk.